Radio.
As an Orkin man, I carry a moisture meter. It's not a slick Wi-Fi-enabled touchscreen supercomputer, but it can tell me where termites are most likely to settle down and raise a family of a few hundred thousand. It's just one of the tools I use to create a customized plan for any home. No kid's ever asked for a moisture meter for his birthday, but you'll be glad when I show up with mine. Orkin, pest control down to a science. For a free inspection, visit OrkinMan.com.
This Saturday through Monday at the Home Depot, get 10% off appliances of $397 or more. Plus, pay no sales tax during Maryland's sales tax holiday if you choose Energy Star qualified appliances. That adds up to a lot of savings, even before your first lower energy bill. It all starts with 10% off appliances. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. 10% discount through March 6th. State sales tax holiday in Maryland stores only through February 18th. Qualifying purchases, see store for details.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20, because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Everybody, welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're going to have to change that intro because I have seen the light.
Right.
We had puree on 2 weeks ago. They make these amazing purees of fresh food, and you go home and you drink six a day and you lose weight. I lost about 7 pounds in 3 days, and I'm a new man. I'm pretty sexy. Can I hear it from everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. They can't keep their hands off me. So we're going to be talking to Shannon Vaughn from Puree.
I think I just have to say that we really have almost a whole studio full of men.
Yeah, I know. So. They all think I'm out of my mind.
Right.
All right. So you want to do this? Or am I doing this?
Do we have Shannon on the phone?
No, we're not yet.
Okay. Well, I was just asking.
Keep going.
Okay. So on February 13th, more than 100 fishermen, chefs, and seafood distributors from across America descended to D.C., all to implore members of Congress to pay more attention to sustainability. It's on all of our hearts and minds, and we have brought in two people here who we could really talk about it with. We've got Tim Fitzgerald. He is the senior policy analyst with the Environmental Defense Fund. He's been in before, and he's back. And we got John Roa. Did I say it right?
Roa Paw.
She's name challenged.
Right. It's okay.
Is that first name pronounced John or Jern?
Director of Sustainability and Sales at ProFish.
All right. So also with us today are very prominent guys from Charlie Palmer Steak. In fact, Chef Charlie Palmer himself will call in to join his exec chef from DC's Charlie Palmer, Jeff Russell. And we're going to talk about new stuff going on there. You want to talk about National Margarita Day, baby?
Yeah, we can absolutely talk about that. So, hooray, it's National Margarita Day. It's coming up on February 22nd. And who better to pour us some fabulous margaritas but the Wilder Brothers? They are both in, talking about Don Julio Tequila.
And Ari and Micah look like they got a lot of sleep last night. Also in today is Francesco Amadeo. He's the president and founder of Don Ciccio and Fili. He's talking about his new line of artisanal liqueurs, with more than a half dozen Italian-inspired flavors, and we're gonna be trying some limoncello, yeah? See?
Yes.
Va bene. All right. But first, my new girlfriend, Shannon Vaughn, is on the phone. Are you there, Shannon?
I'm here.
Shannon is with Puree, and Shannon was on the phone, on the a couple weeks ago, when I had an even fatter gut than I have now, and she was in talking about their whole line of pureed foods, really, fruits and vegetables, that go into a three-day rinse, really. I don't know what you call it.
It's called a detox.
And Shannon, I thought it was BS, remember?
Yes, you did, and you sipped my juice with a cheeseburger.
Yeah, well.
Right, on air. You were very unhappy
all right,
about that.
So I did it. I went in last Monday. I got a three-day cleanse. I did it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and it works like a son of a gun. So I'm a convert. I went back in on Friday and bought more product, and I've been running around the house in a Speedo and doing my Tom Cruise imitation from Risky Business. I'll show you guys later. Don't worry.
Okay, thanks, cool. Shannon, and I just want to thank you so much for that.
I'm glad you're feeling well.
I feel good. Now, the question is, what next? Like, once you've done the cleanse and you've dropped the initial pounds, how do you maintain? How do you keep going?
So I think that the point of the cleanse is to jumpstart your system, and obviously it's great if you lose weight. But the real value is that if you can have a green juice daily, and because people just don't get enough greens and they don't get enough fruits and vegetables. So if you're able to replace one meal or put that into your diet somewhere in the middle of the day or in the morning, you're just going to have more energy and obviously more vitality. So I think that's the whole point. And if you just keep going with that, as you can tell from the weight that you lost and how you feel, you've probably been able to, you know, remove some of the cravings that you've had prior to this before.
Sugar, all cravings except the one for Nikki. You're right.
Mm-hmm. This is good. So I think that helps. It just kind of jumpstarts your system. And then if you can implement a green juice and then we have a follow-up program. So we can give you dietary advice. It comes with the cleanse. You can walk in any time. You can speak with me. And so we don't just kind of give you the cleanse and you walk out the door and you're done. You know, we'd hope that you would take some advice and continue with the habit.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, how often do you recommend a 3-day cleanse or a 2-day cleanse? I mean, what do you think? If you did your first 3-day cleanse, then do you think in a week he should do like a full day cleanse? I mean, what's your advice on that kind of stuff?
I would say that for a transitional person like David, if he's trying to kind of change his diet, I would say that he could do a 1-day cleanse once a month, and he could do a quarterly 3-day cleanse,
okay.
Preferably when there's a seasonal change. Your body gets, you know, everybody gets colds and everybody gets sick when we have seasonal changes, and that's mainly due to the weather and to also low immune systems, and our bodies, especially living on the East Coast, our bodies not adapting so quickly to the change.
Mm-hmm.
So a seasonal cleanse is really good on a 3-day.
All right, girls, I got to jump in here.
Okay.
Do me a favor, Shannon. Make sure everybody knows where Puree is on the land and on the way.
And I'm coming in. I want to do a 2-day cleanse. I want to try
that.
It.
You need it.
I do need it.
Puree is there on Elm Street in Bethesda, right on the main street. You can walk in anytime. We're open from 8 to 8. And we're also at Whole Foods. So Whole Foods has a selection of our drinks, which also can be, all 6 drinks can be put together, and you can walk out the door any day of Whole Foods with a juice cleanse.
All right. Well, I want you to know that you and Puree may have saved my life, and I'm sexy and I know it, and I want to thank you.
Thanks, Shannon.
You're so welcome.
I was
going
to sing
thank
that
you.
Line, but
I'm so glad you didn't.
All right. So let's turn to a guy who's going to make me fat again. Francesco Amadeo is the president and founder of Don Ciccio and Fili, which is Don Ciccio. I knew a guy named Don Cicci in Giardino, below Taormina.
Yeah,
that same guy?
No, not really. But you know, my family came from Sicily and Calabria.
Probably a lot of Don Cicci's there. Anyways, and we first met you. You were at Bibiana.
Yes, I was. I was running the wine program and met Nikki there.
Yeah. So he met me. He didn't meet you.
Yeah, I know, you damn Italians. I know what you're up to. It's not going to happen.
All right, so we want to talk about how you got into making liqueurs. I mean, was this something you always did at home on the side? How did you get started with it?
Well, my family owned a distillery in 19, you know, after the war, they rebuilt the distillery that my grandfather built in 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring back the family traditions. And, you know, I was only born 2 years after the distillery himself got destroyed.
Okay.
In 1980.
So, but how did you, working at Bibiana, I mean, were you playing with things there and
yes,
then
we
making
were playing,
it happen?
Yeah, we were playing with, you know, a few flavors, such as the classic limoncello and others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of guests were asking me, can I buy a bottle from you?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, why not just share this with everybody and be able to...
Well, is it, where do you do the production? Is it all in Italy or is it
No,
here?
No, the production gets done here. We have, you know, wet house here in D.C. by the borders of...
What does a wet house mean for those who don't know?
It's a small, you know, production. So we have, let's say, the distillery
mm-hmm.
here in D.C. and we produce everything here.
Now, most people, when they think of Italian aperitifs and digestives, they think of limoncello. But you have a whole array with you here. Tell us a little bit about that.
So you have the classic limoncello, and then also you can find different other flavors that are mainly from the Amalfi Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we wanted to launch that as well.
Salerno.
So you have, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the mandarin orange, the fennel,
mm-hmm.
the prickly pear, which is very common to the hometown of Furore in Amalfi mm-hmm. Coast, hibiscus and concerto, which is barley and espresso with 15 different spices.
All right. Well,
I know we have to move on, but so But you're going to mix these into cocktails.
Yeah, those are produced to be also mixers.
But people also can drink them on their
own.
Okay, what's the first thing you're going to do for us this morning?
So I'm going to give you a taste of the product itself.
Okay.
So you can really taste and smell what the product is. So we'll start with the limoncello.
Excellent.
And then we go from there.
Okay, great.
And then we can mix it with the different cocktails.
Okay, fabulous. All right, well, while you're pouring that, now we're going to get into a very serious side.
Yeah, we want to talk. First of all, let's introduce Tim and John. Tim Fitzgerald is your return guest.
Yeah, this is my third time. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Stuffed animal, a little stuffed figurine of me.
You don't get a watch until you're on time.
Tim is a senior policy analyst and a microbiologist with the Environmental Defense Fund, and John Rorapaw is director of sustainability and sales ProFish, and we're talking. There was a huge
conference
in D.C. about sustainability and the reliability of sustainability, and getting Congress on board with promoting and forcing essentially sustainable practices. Was on the 13th, am I right?
It was 3 days, right?
Yeah, we had about 100 chefs, restaurant owners, fishermen, most importantly, and other kinds of seafood companies in town too. Meet with their elected officials and let them know that they need the help of the Congress to make sure that their fisheries are managed sustainably.
But this is the first time you brought chefs into the equation, right? When you did this kind of conference, or do you always bring them in?
Right. We've done this event for 5 or 6 years now, and it's always been very heavily weighted towards the fishermen in attendance. And this year we wanted to kind of expand the message to show that sustainably managed fisheries are good for all types of businesses. So the distributors, the restaurant owners, the chefs, everybody who touches a piece of fish after it leaves the water can really benefit from some better management
policies.
And John,
you went to this conference too, right?
I did go as well.
And did you feel that you got a lot out of it? I mean, what was the overall message, and what do you think people left with?
We got great feedback. All the members of Congress that we met with were really happy to see that it wasn't just fishermen this time around, that we had lots of different small business owners all saying the same thing, that Congress can do a better job of giving local fishermen and regional decision makers the flexibility to manage their fisheries better and not do it from D.C.
Well, let's go back to the basic question, because I'm betting there are people listening who really don't know what sustainability is all about. I mean, the oceans are so big. Are we really in trouble? Are we really fishing them out? What's going on?
We've been humans have gotten better and better at fishing every single year, and with machinery and more people fishing and sonar and fish finders and all this stuff, we've gotten pretty efficient. And now there's upwards of 70% or 80% of the world's fisheries are either at max capacity or overfished. So we need to start doing things in a different way if we're going to have fish for a growing population and for public health.
All right. So here's...
Well, so John, so how do you play into that, given your role in what you do?
Well, that's where a wholesaler, the chain of custody is responsible for the stewardship, I believe, in this chain. So the wholesaler is kind of the middleman between the fishermen and the public. So we have a responsibility to manage these fisheries, to do the legwork and the policing for the end consumer. Because when you go into your supermarket, you want to know that if you're buying an eco label or if you're buying a fishery, it comes from a sustainable source. So it's kind of our responsibility to gather all that information and sell that to our chef or our supermarket, whoever we're selling it to.
Well, I mean, let's piggyback on that. There was that huge article on NPR, the story this week about sustainability and about when you go to your market, what are the levels of sustainability and whether or not things that are labeled MSC really mean anything.
Right, right. It's such a huge thing to tackle. I'm glad I'm not on that side of it.
I bet.
It's seafood is, everybody connects with seafood. Everybody's going out with their uncle and fished, and they've eaten on their dinner table. So we feel a personal connection to seafood. So it's our responsibility, and it's the last protein that's predicated to the hunt. So there's so many variables that go into it. That's why the report that came out, you know, it was kind of critical of some of the fisheries that were assessed. And as you know, living in Washington, you can take a report and you can see it from a couple different ways.
Of course.
I'm not sure that's what happened. I'm not saying that's what happened with this report, but I do know that the movement in sustainability in the last 10 years has, you know, tenfolded.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we were talking off air. We're going to have to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk about how the layperson makes the right choice when they're shopping for their seafood, whether they go to a restaurant or they go to their fishmonger or Whole Foods. And I also want to talk about traceability, because I think that's becoming a bigger problem. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. I mean, we are sipping on some gorgeous aperitifs.
I haven't yet, but I shall begin.
But we are also talking serious sustainability. We'll be back in just a sec. Thanks.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time.
What's going on? June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking seafood and sustainability, which really means, you know, keeping enough of every species of fish in the ocean so we can actually eat them. And I got a question for you. I'm a consumer. I'm going into a restaurant, a reputable restaurant. But how do I know that somewhere down the chain of command, something hasn't gotten funky? Because I have ordered stuff. You know, red snapper should be like speckled and red. And I've ordered snapper, red snapper, supposedly, that wasn't. I mean, you know.
Well, you don't always get it with the skin on.
No. But my point is, yes, I do.
No, you don't.
I do. It's our first fight, everyone. but no, if you look at what's going on in England, for example, with the horse meat mixed in with the Burger King meat and all that, I mean, you're supposed to be able to trust brands, trust your providers. So what do you guys do to assure that as a fish moves from the ocean down the line to my plate, that it's really what it's supposed to be?
We do what's called a fish print, take on fingerprint, where we follow.
Is every gill different? Is it?
It is. Tails, gills. Where you can follow kind of what a MSC or some of the other NGOs do, where they follow the fish from the beginning to the end stage. Mm-hmm. You can go to this fish print and you can follow it all the way to the fisherman, the vessel, the fishing method. The more information you can get, the better. And the more you create a chain, the more people have to report. I mean, where we've come as a company in the last 10 years through sustainability has made us such a traceable entity that people can come to us. I had a chef that cooked at the James Beard House last night. He called me 10 minutes before the dinner. He asked me.
Are we talking
about
Scott Druneau?
Scott Druneau.
Okay.
Exactly. I got some scallops in for him. He took them to New York to cook there. Mm-hmm. He texted me right before the dinner. He said, hey, where did these come from? I went to our fish print, and I saw that they came from the lightship, Nantucket lightship area.
Okay.
So I gave that to him. He gave that. I guess he put it on the menu. And
well, I have to be honest with you. I think more and more, no different than cheeses. You know, most menus are now, if they put cheeses on the menu, they tell you where they came from and where that area is, or farmers. I mean, don't you think this is sort of piggybacking on what we're already seeing on menus when it comes to our meats and things of that nature? You're going to disagree?
No, I think you are. But the question is the veracity of the information you're getting, because people will BS you because they want to sell fish or they want to sell meat. And the question is, how are we as consumers really supposed to know?
Yeah, it's a great point. I think seafood is one of those foods that's probably the least familiar to most people that eat it. And mm-hmm. and a lot of times that allows for mischief to happen, if you will, and within the supply chain for people who are looking to take advantage of that or sell things off as species.
It even goes
that
back to Chilean sea bass. You know, they stick it on your plate. It could be, you know, goldfish. You wouldn't know.
Right. And at some point it comes down to you have to trust the person who's selling you or cooking your fish. And
oh, that's so where Scott Druneau comes in.
Right.
Finding those reputable places that have, you know, that work with a company like John's that provide the traceability information all the way from the fisherman to the plate. You know, at some point you have to put your faith in somebody, and the fact that you ask these kinds of questions and that the places you buy your fish from can answer those questions, I think is really important.
Well let me just go back, because we sort of touched on, like, for example, going to a Whole Foods and buying MSC fish. You know, it's, they have their whole rating system, and I'm looking at that fish and I think, when I'm spending my dollars there, that I'm doing the right thing for my family and for the environment. I consider myself an educated consumer. How do you, what is both of your advice to the consumer out there so that they are spending their dollars correctly and doing what's right for the fish out there?
I think that with the MSC case, I think they do a great job. Mm-hmm. I think they make fishermen better. I think they make companies better through their chain of custody.
Okay.
We have a paperwork chain now that we didn't have 5 years ago because mm-hmm. we're involved with MSC. So can you pick out holes in every system? Of course. And can you bring in experts to, you know, say things are not going well? Mm-hmm. Of course you can. But I think that they have definitely made things better, you know, for the environment and for our fisheries. So when you go into the Whole Food, you arm yourself with the questions. You know, where was this harvested? Where was this from? You ask your fishmonger these specific questions, and mm-hmm. I think that's where you get your answers.
Well, okay. Last question. We got 20 seconds. Did Congress hear you, or
what do you think?
God, I hope so.
Right.
It was. We did 100.
You have a lot of new Congress people.
We
up
did
there.
100 meetings
you're talking about?
In 8 hours with
wow.
fishermen.
But do they get it? The new ones?
I think having not only the fishermen but the seafood companies and the chefs and the restaurant owners really made the message resonate a lot more than it has in years past.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. A lot of these offices are new, and they don't really know a lot about these issues. So.
And I assume a more educated public is going to help your cause as well.
Yeah,
don't
you think? And this
John,
event is not
disagree?
The only time we're up there talking to them about it, so there'll be more opportunities.
All right. Well, Tim and John, I want to thank you. We're going to have to bring you guys back because this is too big a subject for a couple of minutes on the radio. This is great, though. Thank you.
Can I stay for the tequila?
You can stay for the tequila. You can stay for more. There's more.
Well, let's get back to Francesco. We got a minute, and then we've got special guests here on the phone. We're going to come back to you. But what did you?
What you poured? You poured us one of everything.
One of everything.
Yeah, so just pour a wine of everything. Started with the top one, which is the limoncello.
Yeah.
So you can go move che towards cose? The coffee, which is the.
Che cos'è questo?
Questo qua è un concerto.
A concerto. What's a
concerto?
Concerto
is a concert of barley and espresso with 15 different spices.
This is the last one,
awesome.
The dark one.
This is crazy.
250 is a recipe that belonged to a monastery on the hills of the Amalfi Coast.
Damn, this is good
really
stuff.
Took
delicious.
Me about a year to perfect the recipe.
All right, we will come back to you.
Wait,
and we'll
but
have...
he's going to make a cocktail with one of these, right? Is that what we're doing next?
Gonna
so what are you making?
I'm going to make a limoncello with gassosa, which is a very simple way to use this product with, you know, just soda.
Okay.
And then we can move towards the Prosecco side and some other fun stuff.
Fun. Okay, great.
Sounds right. Horrible. Yeah.
All right.
All right. So on the phone we have...
Jeff, I need you to take a
seat. Jeff, yep. Jeff Russell, can take a seat. Charlie Palmer, are you there?
I'm here. You know, but it's a little early for me to be drinking this limoncello.
So where are you? Are you on the left coast?
He is. He's on the...
That's all right. Well, you know, not to worry, because we'll drink yours, man. Don't worry about it. So I'm not sure that Charlie Palmer needs any introduction.
No.
And we've got Jeff Russell, executive chef at Charlie Palmer here in Washington. I think we should start off just by saying, you know, Charlie, you opened up here in D.C. about 10 years ago. And for most restaurants, that's a lifetime and a half, especially in this town. But Charlie Palmer Steak has become one of the established power restaurants. It doesn't hurt that the location's at the foot of Capitol Hill, I imagine, because those guys can roll out of the office and just roll down the hill and they're at your place. But to what do you attribute your staying power? Because there are lots of restaurants that have tried and failed.
Well, you know, I think people say we're a 7-minute walk from the Senate. So, I mean, that, as you say, that doesn't hurt. But, you know, and I can remember in the early days that, you know, I would be down there standing in the street in front of 101 Constitution on a Friday night and wondering, like, you know, what the hell am I going to do now? Because, you know, Congress is out or, you know, kind of thing. And there was nobody around. But
wait a minute. My wife and I were there, so you probably just didn't notice us. Thanks a lot, by the way.
No, the landscape has changed in D.C. since you opened up 10 years ago with, I mean, H Street and the Union Market area. I mean,
even Penn Quarter is big.
Penn Quarter. I mean, everything has sort of exploded in the 10 years since you've opened.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, and you know, I think you know we've been blessed with you know, also drawing people in from whether Georgetown or like you know coming this way you know to where we are. So, you know, that's been great. But you know, I think you know one of the big things is with our success is that although we're called a steakhouse, and you know, I'm the one that named it, you know, Charlie Palmer Steak. So, but we're much more than that. I always tell people that, and I think. You know, in a lot of ways, that's why, you know, we're always trying to make things more interesting and, you know, more diverse. And we'll always, you know, pay great respect to, you know, great cuts of meat and, you know, the traditional steakhouse kind of theme. But at the same time, we're always going to be kind of breaking those barriers and pushing things and being creative. And I think that's, you know, that's what people want to see. You know, I mean, some people want a great steak on a plate and some people want to walk in a restaurant and see menu changes and different things all the time. And, you know, we're very conscious of that. So I think that's, I like to believe that's a big part of it. And then the other big part of it, I think, is, you know, the wine program is interesting. And, you know, we've always paid respect to American wines only.
Well, with Nadine Brown behind
with
you.
With Nadine.
I mean,
and,
she's
yeah,
so fabulous.
Exactly.
I'm in love with her.
And she's awesome.
She's great.
Love her.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a
don't
great
tell her, by the way.
Don't tell her husband.
But, okay, so exactly. We've got Jeff here, too. I mean, Jeff, when we met the restaurant, we met Brian Voltaggio, who's gone on to other things. You've been there 4 or 5 years. I guess you were there right. And left and came back, right?
Yes.
So what are you guys doing now that's different from what was happening 10 years ago when the restaurant opened up?
How do you
up?
Evolve?
Currently, we just literally this weekend launched a new promotion or program, I guess, called Friday Night Flights. And we're trying to feature some unique varietals of wine paired with some creative and fun dishes.
He's got a good radio voice.
I know. Thanks. You do.
Oh, he's the boss with the hot sauce.
Right.
So tell us about that. Tell us more.
Well, this week was the inaugural week, and the theme for the wines was the Mighty Rhone. It was just three Rhone blends, and we paired that with some of our house-made charcuterie.
Now, that's something that you've brought to the restaurant, correct? That's something new that you're doing?
Right. We're making everything in-house.
And you brought us a beautiful plate here. Can you tell us quickly what you have on the plate?
I didn't even see it. I better try it.
We have a little rabbit sopressata. Mm-hmm. Next to that is lomo, which is just skewered and dried pork loin.
Yum.
That one you just ate is the venison landjager.
And
then,
favorite.
David, you just got the linguica. Mm-hmm. And then on the bottom there is something we just created the other day. It's a little pork terrine with a short rib pastrami, pistachios,
what's
and black
linguica?
Peppercorns. Linguica is a smoked, smoked Portuguese sausage.
Mm.
Similar to andouille, but it's got a little bit more paprika, garlic.
Is this on my diet? Who cares?
Yeah, it is now. Well, so let me ask you, Charlie, I mean, this goes to both you and Jeff. I mean, Jeff, was it your idea to start making charcuterie in-house? Was this something that you're passionate about doing? Or, Charlie, is this something you're looking to launch into?
Well, I always take, like, the cue from a lot of our chefs, you know. And Jeff, you know, Jeff's a very creative guy. And, you know, it's become my, you know, I've realized a long time ago that, you know, for my chefs to be creative, you know, and have their own sense of the kitchen and really kind of develop their own personality in a restaurant, you know, I have to let them have the freedom to do that. And I think, you know, some of our chefs are really into, you know, salumi and charcuterie and that kind of, you know, thing. And, you know, everybody has their thing. So, I mean, my mantra is, like, if it's good for the restaurant, you know, it's good for me. And I think, you know, I mean, Jeff's passionate about it. And, you know, when someone's passionate about doing, you know, a certain type of thing in the kitchen, whether it's, you know, crafting charcuterie or, you know, an interest in pastry or, you know, sous vide cooking, whatever it is, you know, it's going to be good for the restaurant.
Well, I would just want you to know that what some chefs would hear their boss say that they're creative guys and not enthusiastically, but Jeff had that aw shucks look on his face.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just one of the examples. And I think, you know, we also go through phases, too. I mean, I think, you know, people, you know, chefs get, you know, entrenched in an interest in a certain thing and then become good at it, you know, and practice it. I mean, because let's face it, what we do in this business, it's about practicing your craft. And I think, you know, the more you do it, the better you get. And, you know, but then we'll move on to the next thing, too. But keep that a big part of our menu breakdown and kind of a, you know, kind of a signature thing of the restaurant. So that's what my hope is that will happen here, and I'm sure it will.
Chef, we have to take a quick break. Do you mind hanging on the line for just another 2 minutes while we get some commercials?
Absolutely.
And then we'll finish
cool.
up with you guys. Great. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are chomping on some delicious charcuterie and talking to Chef Charlie Palmer. We'll be back in just a sec.
You wouldn't drive your kids in the car without them wearing seatbelts, would you? So why leave them unprotected when you're gone? Learn about the latest techniques for maximizing your wealth and protecting your assets for your heirs. Join me, Wayne Zell, for Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I'm an estate planning attorney with Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Each week, we talk about how you can realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. That's Blueprint for Wealth, Saturdays at 10 a.m., right here on 1500 AM.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does three decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit capitalareafoodbank.org.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and our guests in studio is Jeff Russell, who's the executive chef at Charlie Palmer Steak here at the foot of Capitol Hill. And on the phone is the man himself, Charlie Palmer. Charlie and Jeff, I guess it's a sort of a joint question. We got a couple of minutes left. What's next for you guys? Is there anything more happening in D.C.? Come on.
We do have something.
Come on, boys.
You know, we got something like what I think is going to be pretty special coming up this summer.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, it's going to involve all of our chefs, you know. So we get together, you know, usually every year. We try to do it every year. And we bring all our chefs from all our restaurants to one location. And, you know, not only is it about camaraderie and kind of like getting to know each other, but it's, you know, we cook together, we do some fun things, and we always try to include, you know, in a charity part of it, where we, you know, we pick a charity, we do something, you know, together for that charity. And this one, this summer, is going to be really cool because we've also incorporated a lot of our friends in D.C. Like, I was just with Michelle Richard the other night of the opening at the CIA of the Bocuse restaurant, so Michelle has agreed to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we got Brian, and we got Matt, and we got you know, just a bunch of guys locally that are going to participate with us. So we're gonna do a really fun thing.
At the
restaurant? You'll get more information on it.
I know. Yep. This is such a tease.
It sounds like Chef Camp.
Right.
It's a tease. Exactly. It's a tease. It's Chef Camp. It's exactly. You know, they have, you know, Pinot Camp out here in California. You know, we have Chef Camp. So
are you suggesting that maybe Nikki and I would hang out by the dumpsters and still do well? Because I'm not too proud. I've got no shame.
I am too proud. I'm coming in. Sorry.
Yeah, and come see us for the next Friday night flight is going to be really cool because we're doing I think, you know, we're doing oysters, but we're pairing it with all these great wines from, you know, Barboursville vineyards and Pollock vineyards. So, you know, those local Monticello, you know, some wines right there from Virginia, locally. So,
but see, that says something about you without, you know, polishing your apple too much, that you're in L.A. and you can tell us what's happening at Charlie Palmer Steak in Washington next week. That ain't bad.
Yeah, they might call me a pest sometimes, but I like to keep my
He did. The things he said about you when we're off the air.
Not you can't imagine.
Chef, not true.
So if you're looking for a new executive chef, I'm available.
Well, Chef, we really appreciate you calling in, especially from West Coast time. And, Jeff, we thank you for bringing in all these glorious charcuterie.
What
really
is this again?
Linguisa.
Linguisa.
God, this is good.
Delicious, all right. Delicious. Mm-mm-mm. All right, well, we thank you both. Thanks, Chef.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much.
All right, so Francesco, let's get back to you.
Okay, Francesco has gifted us with an array of
cocktails and everything else.
First, before we talk about what we tasted and all that, talk about the production process. Well, how do you do all this?
Well, we all use fresh fruit to do some limoncello and, for example, the mandarin orange. There is zero colorant or extract or any artificial flavorings. So everything is done naturally. And, you know, everything is done by hand. And so one-man company. So we do everything. I do everything by myself.
Wow.
Just make sure that the quality, it's what we
And what did your recipe testing process go through? I mean, how you had the recipes, how did you do that?
Yeah,
and where are you getting, like, your botanicals from and things of that nature?
Well, botanicals, we get it mostly from Italy and some from, you know, a company in California.
Mm-hmm.
All the lemons and the oranges come from Italy.
Okay.
So the lemons come from the Amalfi Coast and the oranges come from Sicily.
Mm-hmm.
So they come here and then I will, you know, we do everything in the warehouse.
Okay. So tell me about the cocktails you put together.
So also we produce this with family recipes. So my family had this recipe for almost 100 years.
Okay.
And then they're so easy to mix. So you have the one that you sip
in. My family has a brisket recipe that's about 30 years old. Does that mean anything?
It does. It is. So the one that you're sipping right now, it is the hibiscus with
so
Prosecco.
I am.
You know, you can just mix it with Prosecco and then you can sip it just like a Bellini.
It's beautiful.
So,
a hibiscus flower?
It's edible hibiscus flowers that come from Australia.
Beautiful.
Pretty fun.
These high in sugar? I mean, they're very sweet. Is it the natural sweetness from the fruit or is it?
You have a percentage of natural sugar coming from the fruit, and then we do add just a little bit more just to increase the digestive part of that, and then, you know, also to give you the natural flavorings to a cocktail when you mix it.
All right.
I have a question.
Oh, you do? All right.
I do.
No, we'll talk about this one.
Okay. I have a question about aperitifs and digestives. In America, we're not really taught about them as far as drinking. You know, you have a cocktail before dinner, and then you could have an after-dinner drink, but most people just drink wine, and there's no real flow to it. So when is the aperitif really supposed to be had, and what about the digestive?
Well, the aperitif is being enjoyed before dinner, so it almost opens your appetite.
Okay.
And then you have dinner, and then you can have also digestive at the end to digest it, everything that you just had. So these are actually were born to be digestives. So you sip them at the end of the meal. But the way that we are producing it is so natural and also towards the mixology.
Okay.
So that's why you have cocktails, because you can enjoy this in the beginning and enjoy that at the end. So you really have many, many ways to drink them.
Fantastic.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we're going to come back to you and talk about these drinks in a couple of minutes. Speaking of drinks.
And mixology.
And drinking. If you don't know who the Wilder brothers are, it's probably a good thing for you. Better for your health.
They've been on a couple of times.
Micah and Ari have been on several times. If you ever go to any party, anything at any place downtown, and you see two dudes behind the bar shaking it up and passing out cocktails and making delicious things, it's usually the Wilder brothers. Who's going to talk? You are? Sit down.
Just for a second.
All right. So they're here because they're here with Tequila Don Julio, which is Mexico's original, I guess, high-end tequila. But National Margarita Day is coming. And, of course, we celebrate that at our house.
The end of the day.
Bathe in
the
it.
End of the week.
You guys celebrate that all the time.
We do. Right. It's our house. It's just a party. Every 5 minutes. Dogs are drunk. Everybody's cranked. So Who came up with National Margarita Day? It's a new one on me.
I mean, since the margarita is the biggest consumed or the most popular consumed cocktail in America, we consume over 600 million margaritas a year. I don't know.
Just you and your brother, you mean?
Well, I mean, between,
when you say we.
I feel like between the four of us.
Who are we talking about?
Between the four of us, we're at like 599 million. So there's like another million out there.
The rest of you suckers, call in.
Consuming, yeah. Right. So National Margarita Day was made to commemorate the mass volume of margaritas, apparently, that we consume in America. And since Don Julio recently celebrated their 70th year anniversary, from Don Julio Gonzalez, who took it over 70 years ago. Mm-hmm. He made a 70th year anniversary Añejo Blanco. Today we came up with cocktails from the Don Julio Blanco, Don Julio Reposado, Don Julio Añejo, and Don Julio 70th anniversary.
Spanish is impeccable, but
thank you. What all four of those are.
Do you want to hear that in English?
Si.
So what are all four of those tequilas? What's the differences between all of them?
The Blanco is minimally rested, so it's aged under a year. Mm-hmm. And then the Reposado means rested. See how I'm interpreting this?
Right, he's doing a good job.
Añejo is old. It's been aged for over a year and a half in oak.
Wait, Viejo is old. So what does Añejo mean?
Añejo is older than Viejo.
Really?
No.
So I must be. And then, Jewish kid from Bethesda. What's he know?
Exactly. Why am I talking about Spanish here? Come on.
Because you know your drink.
And then the 70th anniversary is actually the first Añejo Blanco that's ever been produced. So
how do you go about using the different tequilas and the drinks you're making?
So we try to work with the flavors that are already kind of produced from the different ages of the tequila. So, for instance, today we're doing a Black Flag, and it's a squid ink infused Blanco, Don Julio Blanco.
Okay.
And yes, please help yourself. We're also
doing a
blackberry liqueur with that, and then a sage lemon sherbet.
Wow.
So that's the Black Flag. For the Reposado, we're doing a really cool cocktail.
Oh my God, this is delicious.
You see?
Oh.
That is delicious. No, but some people get confused with tequilas and mezcal. They think it's going to be, do you know what I mean? Like there's some that they think there's going to be a lot of smokiness in their tequila.
They're going to see God or
where
something.
Where does that come into it?
Well, you definitely do see God.
I did.
Mezcal.
I spoke to him the other day. By the way, you better get to work.
That was peyote, not mezcal.
And that has its attributes too, you know?
Yeah, from what I've heard.
Fine, but mother of five, that's a lovely thing to hear. Okay.
Well, I wasn't a mother when I was 20. Okay.
Thank God for that too.
mezcal comes from the Del Maguey plant, and tequila comes from the agave. So
they're two separate.
But yeah, and it's a very different distillation process.
Do they literally take them and squeeze them the way you'd squeeze any fruit and get all the juice out, and then it's...
It just depends. I mean, like for mezcal, there's a lot of smoking involved prior to the distillation process.
Of the mezcal.
I'm not trying to make a smoking joke. I'm just trying to understand. They smoke fish. How do you smoke a mezcal?
You smoke everything.
That must be a huge amount of paper required. All right, so the other question I had is, who is Don Julio? I mean, he's this guy that just his family was in the business?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's one of the oldest tequilas from Mexico. Don Julio Gonzalez took it over 70 years ago, which is from 2012, so now 71 years.
And where in Mexico is it made?
Well, it's in Jalisco.
Where?
Your brother is coming in with
more
drinks.
He's knocking on the door. I don't know.
He's coming in with soup shots.
Okay.
Soup shots.
Some butternut squash soup shots. And
how come you guys aren't alcoholics? Or maybe you are. I don't know.
You know. We don't swallow.
I'm just
going to
finish that.
I know.
That's
where
a whole other show. No, you know where
you.
I could go, but this is a family show, so we're good.
Thank you.
Sorry. All right. So, because when we were in,
Don Julio specifically made in Los Altos.
Okay.
So the next drink is, speaking of the differences. So we went the Black Flag you guys are having now with the sage sherbet. and the Black Bear Liqueur, and Squid Ink infused Don Julio Blanco. The next one is the...
is the Squid Ink just for color, or do you feel like it really imparts some flavor?
It does impart some...
You have to speak into Mike.
It does impart some flavor. It adds somewhat of a salty finish to the cocktail, and then pairs nicely with
the...
I wish everybody could...
Everybody, I gave it to you. Everybody out there could see these two. It's like frickin' fractu martinis. It's unbelievable.
So, yeah, and it is for aesthetic. I mean, we were going for, a fairly dangerous and attractive cocktail. The Black Squid Ink does.
Attractive, a lot like you.
So you just have to hold the squid over the thing and squeeze?
Are you talking to my husband?
I actually hunted the squid myself and then, stole its ink.
Is this televised?
No, it's not televised anymore.
All right, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to go through all these fabulous cocktails that you should be enjoying on National Margarita Day.
And then we're going to get back with Francesco and talk more about these unbelievable liqueurs that he created.
Thank you very much. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
For those of you who like to check your connection speed, you can go to broadbandreports.com. You can get their speed test. You can test your upload and download speed. I like to do that periodically. Sometimes my Fios download speed gets up to 16 megabits per second, but this morning I had 10 down and 3 up. And you've got 60 megabits per second. I'd love to have that kind of bandwidth, but 60 could be overkill. But I'd say anything more than 30 is probably not worth the money.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM. Union Market is the new year-round food market with over 40 vendors. It's D.C.'s new spot for local taste and style. Union Market is composed of the finest food artisans, all creating a unique culinary experience. Check out their $7 lunch specials and primetime libations, Union Market's Thursday and Friday happy hours. Union Market is on 5th Street Northeast, just off Florida Avenue, with lots of free parking. Also get there on Metro's Red Line to Noma Gallaudet. Union Market's open Wednesdays through Sundays. For hours or info, visit unionmarketdc.com.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We are still sober, which is a blessing. Now, before we get back to Ari and Michael Wilder and all this Don Julio tequila, I just want to thank everybody while I'm still awake that makes this show possible, because without these guys, we wouldn't be on the air. So our friends at Union Market, at Georgetown Bagelry, the best bagels in D.C., maybe the only bagels. The Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's Rustico Evening Star, the two Rusticos, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, and Church Key, our friends at the two founding farmers and Farmer, Fisher, and Baker down on the Georgetown waterfront, everybody at Jeff and Barbara Black's Restaurant Group, Post down at the Monica Hotel, and a new sponsor, Early Mountain Vineyards, Steve Case, guys, and that's who I'm hanging with. You know what I'm saying? Me and Steve and me, Gene Case.
We're actually doing a live remote down at Early Mountain Vineyards.
Right, and the Carpenter Shelter. We're going to be doing, again, another remote at their annual fundraiser in April, right?
And we're also doing a live remote at Edgar, the new bar at the Mayflower Hotel.
We're very popular.
April.
I don't know if you guys can tell just by looking at me how popular we are.
And the National Harbor Food and Wine Festival in May. We'll
May
be there,
4th,
too.
Yeah.
We'll be there, too.
That's right. You may touch me later. Kiss the ring. All right, so let's get back to Ari and Micah, because these, I mean...
Well, here's the thing I want to say. So it's National Margarita Day, but none of the drinks that you've made are really classic margaritas.
Margaritas are, inspired to enhance the tequila, basically. Okay. So we just took it a step further and accented each tequila based on its profile with, citrus and other elements like squash for the reposado and blackberry.
They've been making Squid Ink margaritas for decades. Just
Who
kidding.
Has?
Squids.
Squids.
Well, no, I'm serious. I've never heard of squid.
They're the only ones with like squid ink around, right?
Micah came up with it because he thought it would be a really nice enhancement for the Blanco and with the Blackberry liqueur.
I think Micah's staying up too late.
I think that's possible.
We're staying up way too late, squeezing squids and coming with all kinds of crazy.
I don't want to know what you do with these squids.
You meet these squids at the bar.
We hang out with them for a little bit.
You bring them home.
We get to know them.
They're as dangerous as we are.
But these squids are pigs. All right,
tell me about this drink.
Okay.
What's this drink?
So that's the maples.
We were doing the maples and velvet next, which is the we were just going from Blanco to the 70th anniversary.
So the
soup shot you have in front of you,
which is delicious,
is the maples and velvet butternut squash soup shot. It's made with Don Julio Reposado.
Have you guys tried this? Has everybody tried it? It's delicious.
Yeah.
This is
Don Julio Reposado, Calvados, velvet falernum, some butternut squash,
some hazelnut oil,
and some diced apples.
Yeah, we had that for breakfast.
Yeah. No, I just did.
It's like cereal. Yeah.
Can we keep the glasses?
Yeah, of course.
The glasses are stunning. All right, so tell us about this one. What is this?
Smoke and Barrel is the next one, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, Smoke and Barrel.
Don Julio and
Barrel. So that's a cube of smoky añejo.
Don Julio añejo. Mm-hmm. Mezcal, which is your favorite for breakfast. And then we did a rosemary pineapple cube and Wilder Bros pineapple gum and some fresh lemon.
It's delicious, too.
In high school, they called you incorrigibles, right? In high school, like, those Wilder Brothers, all they do is drink.
All right, the last one.
And then the last one is the, Micah, the last one, the 70th anniversary?
Yeah, it's the 70th anniversary, which is like
Don Julio Gonzalez's
celebration of his craftsmanship for the tequila.
So we did a Don Julio 70th anniversary, Kirschwasser liqueur, and then a cherry fizz with some Wilder Bros, root beer gum.
The Kirschwasser sounds very Spanish.
Kirschwasser.
That too. All right, Kirschwasser, something
What is
water.
A root beer gum? But,
all right, so guys, we got to cut, so I want to know
wait,
where do we
I
find...
Can I just know what a root beer gum is?
It's we make a gum syrup. Wilder Bros makes a gum syrup from sassafras chips.
Arabic gum.
Is Don Julio like everywhere, all the bars, all the liquor stores?
Don Julio is everywhere. And the 70th anniversary is amazing. It's one of the newest ones out. It's the first Añejo Blanco on the market.
And where can people find you guys these days
Lima,
pouring your
Barcode,
drinks?
Fujimar, Ambar. We're kind of
frightening. You guys scare me.
Bethesda, we come to Bethesda.
All right, I want to get back to someone sane. Next, Francesco Amadeo. Francesco, you got to talk a little bit about this particular liqueur. This is Knockout. What is this?
So the Concerto was born over 250 years old. So... it's a secret recipe, the monastery.
You can tell me. No one's listening.
The monks that...
Just you and me.
The monks were having, so...
But it's got coffee in it. Were they drinking coffee?
It is. They, you know, Naples area, it is known for their coffees. Yeah. There's a lot of coffee makers down there. And, you know, of course, every...
Roasters.
Every roasters. And then, you know, everybody drinks espresso.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to add the barley, which is also very commonly used in the Amalfi Coast.
Okay. So in Napoli, where did the beans come from? Africa? I mean, who was growing?
They come from, you know, mainly Guatemala and all the other...
But back in the day when you
back
know...
Back in the day, still were coming from there.
Really?
Like, you know, tomatoes, they come from, you know, Bolivia, and they spread widely.
The Italians know that the tomatoes come from Bolivia?
Yeah, they do. And then they start to grow then to San Marzano all the way around the Vesuvius. So
cool.
same thing with the coffee.
All right. So let's talk about where we find your liqueurs, because you're a one-man operation. Is it all ordering online and in some bars?
No.
Well, you're working with Wilder Brothers,
yeah,
too,
actually,
right?
We have all the products that are available at Ambar, Room 11, Passenger, Hanoi House. You can find it to very crafty cocktails places, and then you can find it to many liquor stores.
That's great. And you work with these guys?
Hopefully.
All my condolences.
Yeah, thank you.
You must need a lot of rest. Okay, do you have a website?
Yes, the website is donciccioandfigli.com.
So that's Don, C-I-C-C-I-O, and it looks like Figli, F-I-G-L-I.
Yes.
Well, we have a couple minutes. Can you? Because we didn't talk about
all the cocktails
you made. So we did the hibiscus, which is really lovely.
So you have the hibiscus with, you know, just Prosecco. So it's a new way to...